Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to the Lazy CEO Podcast. I'm Jane Liu. Join my conversations with the entrepreneurs behind the iconic brands we all know and love. My next guest is the ultimate icon for body positivity. It's none other than Riley Hempson, founder of the size-inclusive swimwear brand Remy and wardrobe basics brand Georgia and Joseph. You may also know her as Riley J on socials, formerly known as Healthy Chick 101. And you may also know her from our joint Shopo and Remy collab collection. Riley has had a long health and fitness journey, which she positively turned into a career in social media, which then led her into launching her activewear and social media brand Remy in 2020, which has now grown to 7 figures. Riley, so down to earth and authentic, exactly what you see on socials. All right, let's get into it. Welcome, Riley.
Thank you.
So we actually just had an event for International Women's Day for Shopo and Riley came along. Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was so nice.
It was so good, wasn't it?
It's always nice to catch up with people. And obviously there were people there that I knew, but lots that I didn't.
And I love going to like other people's events. I love that element of just like someone organizing a big catch up for you and everyone's dressed really well. You don't have to talk about the dress code.
Yeah, for sure. It was so nice.
It was just amazing women. So thank you so much for flying down for the event and for this. I call you the ultimate icon of body positivity, which is why, you know, we've worked together for Shopo. Tell me about how this whole journey, where your journey in body positivity starts.
I mean, if we go way back,
Let's go back.
So I've always been a bigger girl, even as a kid. Like I was very active playing sport, but always been bigger. So I guess that's been a challenge that I've just had my whole life, you know, like being called fat in school and I call myself fat and I just like sort of laugh about it and that's fine. I got to a point, I'd left school and I think I got to a point where for the first time in my life, I wasn't balanced. I'd always been bigger, but I was playing sport and, you know, like I was out with friends and doing all these things. And I got to a point where everything was sort of out of whack. I was eating really badly for me. I wasn't exercising. I wasn't moving my body. So I'd put on a lot of weight. I started my Instagram. It was a private account. It was called Healthy Chick 101. The OGs will remember. It was called Healthy Chick 101. Yeah. And it was just for my friends to follow it, just to hold me accountable. And then I lost a bunch of weight and I sort of thought, if I get down to a certain size, I'm going to find happiness in that and my whole life's going to change. And that's all that matters is that I need to lose this weight and then everything's miraculously going to change like that. And obviously, as I lost weight, I kind of realized, well, I'm the same person. I've got the same values, got the same friends that love me. They don't love me because of my size. So it was a journey. And I sort of, as I lost weight, I built my Instagram and grew followers and they came along with that journey with me from being it's all about weight loss to a point where I went, actually, I'm so much more than my body, but also my body's amazing at any shape or size. And I'm just going to have to love it at any point. And even if I don't love it, just sort of look past it in a way and go, some days you're going to feel shit about your body. It's normal and get on with it and don't let it hold me back from doing things in life. So yeah, that's sort of the gist of my Instagram and how I sort of built my followers, which is so random. I know there's a lot of people that, and I had messages about it when I sort of stopped posting about lots of the health and fitness. I had people, you know, like, I followed you for the weight loss.
Is this when you rebranded?
Yeah.
I was like, I remember the moment, I'm like, where's Riley?
Oh, no, yeah, that was when I changed my name. Yeah, from Healthy Chick 101, I went to Riley J because I guess I wasn't just posting about health and fitness anymore. So that was another thing. But when I sort of started posting less about weight loss and preaching that, I had people going, you know, like, I followed you for the weight loss, so like you're not healthy now and I'm going. And there were people like that, which, you know, if that's their vibe, then that's fine. But then I had people.
You can't not continue your own personal journey because of like how people followed you, because, you know, they could follow other people as well, but you're also bringing, you shouldn't do it for the followers, basically.
No, it's exactly. Your own journey. Exactly. And so then I also had people that I still get messages now being like, you know, I followed you originally for the weight loss content, and as I sort of, you know, evolved with you, like they feel like they've kind of grown up with me and we've all sort of shifted our mindset, which is really cool.
I think that's what you're also meant to do on social media, right? Like you niche down to find a space in the market. And then as now that you've got a massive personal brand, you can talk about all the other elements in your life and then everyone comes on the journey with you because they know who you are.
Yeah, for sure. And I think given I started my Instagram at a time where, I mean, influencing was a thing, but it wasn't something that people aspired.
When did you start?
Oh, it would have been 2016 or 2015. Mm. Yeah,
quite a while ago. That's when I started too.
Yeah. And I mean, it was before you sort of ever thought you could like make a job out of it or like aspire to do it. So it was a very organic thing. So to go from that aspect of just like, I'm posting about my life and I'll post whatever, to it then being a brand, like I'm a personal brand, it was a really weird concept.
So that was such a long time ago that I was like, that was when I was like, I only had a Shopo Instagram account.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I need my own Instagram account. Like, you know, like, but it was such a lot. Yeah. Different times.
Yeah. It's weird to think that you can just start an Instagram and then like make yourself a thing. Yeah.
A brand.
It's weird, but it's cool.
And carve value out
and,
of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like you've seen with Shopo and I've seen with my brands how important it is to have that there because it gives you that sort of almost like credibility, but I'm not sure if that's the right word to use, but people sort of, they fall in love with stories and they fall in love with the message behind the brand. So if you can push that through your own personal account, it's going to be a win.
What advice do you have for people who want to build their Instagram accounts? Because it's hard to be vulnerable on social media.
If you're going in business-minded, you still have to have that element of being vulnerable, which is, it's a tricky balance. I think if you're doing it for the right reasons, you have a passion and you have something that you want to share. If you're sort of looking for the brand deals to be your bread and butter, that's not how it works. The most important part is actually not the money you're making from it. It's all of the other content, which then builds people and builds your following and builds.
Well, I think it's if you want to be a content creator or if you want to be like, if you want to create a personal brand and they're quite different and there's people who are both. If you just want to go get the deals, you'd be like a content creator.
Yeah, exactly. But your personal brand's always going to be stronger. Yeah. So if you can go down that road, you really have to think like what you're passionate about is the main thing I would say. I get that, you know, you're going to get hate at some point from people that just don't agree with you.
Hey, that's how you go viral.
I know, exactly. Any comments are good comments, guys, even if they are ripping you to shreds.
Yeah, bring your haters, you're fueling the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you've seen it. Like a video that's going to go viral, you're not reaching your niche, you're reaching lots and lots of people that won't agree with what you're posting. You have to be polarizing sometimes in order to sort of gain people that love you. That passion comes from you, and then it comes from the people that are watching and they agree or disagree or whatever it is. You have to be vulnerable, but you also have to have a bit of a wall up. You have to sort of remove your feelings from random people on the internet saying shit to you that actually they're just typing the comment and then getting on with their life. So you just have to read it and get on with yours. I feel like that's the best way to go about it.
So I want to circle back to what you said about you weren't happy with your life and you thought that was weight related. As you lost the weight, you realized that your values are still there. That doesn't necessarily change things. Because I felt really different being the only Asian, the only foreigner at school. When I came to Australia, I put on a lot of weight and then I just looked so different and I didn't speak English. I have this chip on my shoulder about like the way that if someone speaks differently to me, it's because of who I am and how I look. It's because I'm a girl, I'm young, I'm poor, all those things. It literally was until when I really even became successful at Shopo, which is much later in life, that I realized, oh no, actually, like some people are still dicks to you because of themselves.
They're,
like, they're having a bad day. And sometimes people just are like, I think sometimes for an extrovert, if someone's an introvert, they're just an introvert. It doesn't mean they don't like you. It's nothing to do with you. Like, it's, you know, you're not the center of their universe as well. And then sometimes I just think I'm just like, maybe I'm too loud for some people and that's fine as well.
Yeah, exactly. I just think, especially in, I mean, a job when you're seeing so many different personalities and different people's, that online is like tenfold. You know, you're constantly being put in front of people that have different values to you and they're not going to like you. And I mean, in real life, it's worse because it's like actually there and you're like, oh, like I hate this. Yeah. But you can't please everyone. And I just think we all have these different personalities. It's cool. Like there's some people that I can't stand, but I'm not going to go comment or say something to them. Yeah. You just sort of remove yourself or you be nice to them because we're nice people. But you're right. It's always a them problem.
At the event, I was also like, you know, sitting next to you and then on the other side was Olivia Molly Rogers, who was like Miss Universe. And
yeah.
And then, so she was talking about the similar issues. Like we were talking about like trolls and that people would comment on who you are as a person, but also what you look like. And it's just like, first of all, who are these people? We were saying how it's the people who actually comment on who you are as a person that actually like goes deeper.
We can all laugh about people commenting about our looks, but it's when they question your character. That's when like they're some of the only comments that I can't pinpoint them now, but I do remember times when I've been like, do people really think this
you're
about
in the
me?
Shower like, and you're like, fuck you.
Yeah,
just, and that's where you've got comebacks.
Yeah, you're standing there. It's a whole thing. So I just think, yeah, as much as these people know you, you're still a person that has friends and family around them that love them. And also, I just think if people are commenting mean stuff online, they've got their own bigger issues deal with.
There's
yeah.
something, they're venting anger somewhere. What kind of would you tell your younger self?
It was always deep down in me that I did love myself because, you know, I've always been a confident person. I've always had lots of friends. I've always been, you know, out there and I was never sort of putting myself away because of my body. And the only time I did was when I was in that really bad place and I didn't have a good balance in life. So I think balance and health looks different to everybody. You need to figure out what that is for you. My biggest advice is don't let your body hold you back from doing something. You can sit there in your room and you can be upset about something, but if you've got somewhere to be, you want to go and get that job, you want to go on that holiday, you want to do whatever it is, don't let your body hold you back. That's my biggest thing. Don't let your looks hold you back because you've got one life. All you're going to do is look back in 10 years and go, what the fuck was I doing letting myself be held back? And if you want to change things about yourself, whatever, you can do it, you can't do it, whatever it is, but just push yourself to do the things you want to do.
How did you go into run club?
You can probably listen to podcasts that I've done before and I've been like, I hate running. Running's shit. I'll never be a runner. Like, don't run, everyone. Like, I've always been telling people, find something you love to do, which is so true. My partner runs quite a bit. And one day I was actually sort of in a little bit of a creative funk, actually. Like, in terms of my content that I was putting out, I felt a little bit like the content I wasn't putting out wasn't giving like that sort of passion or like I was a bit stagnant with it, I feel, which I mean,
it wasn't exciting, and that probably translates.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like you're your own worst critic all the time, but I just 100%. Was sort of sitting there and I was like, tomorrow I'm just going to run. I'm going to try and run. And for the first time, actually try properly and like, you know, do intervals or start from beginner. And I could run for 15 seconds at a time. Like we're talking like beginner.
Yeah.
And I decided, I was like, yep, tomorrow I'm just going to film it. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. If I do one run and then I hate it and stop, then that's just what it's going to be. So yeah, I filmed it and I cut it up and I posted it and I did my first run and it was hard. I sort of had a little like fire in me of like, oh my God, like what if I just keep going and I can try and get to, you know, what if one day I can run 5K? What if one day I can run 10K? It had always been like almost my Roman Empire. Like I say, running has always been something I wish I could do, but I hated it because I couldn't do it. So yeah, I decided to start from very beginner scratch, bare minimum, 15 seconds on, 15 seconds off. And I've been doing it for like 3 months now. Every person I meet now in public that come up to me, they're like, oh my God, like I love your running diaries. I've started running because of you. And it almost takes my brain a second to be like, what? Like I've inspired people to run. Like, I hate running.
What
but like,
world is this?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if I run, I'm going to text you like a photo of me running.
No, it's honestly so cool.
Yeah.
I just also like when I decided I wanted to start running, I looked online for other plus size people in the running community that had, you know, started from scratch and I could see what they were doing and I couldn't see anyone. And now people have sort of started tagging other people, which is great to see and I love it. But I was like, you know, there's such a gap here. Everyone thinks of a runner as size 8, 6, very slim, toned, like a runner. And I'm like, babe, I'm the opposite. Like, we're dealing with a different situation here. So I thought, you know what, if anything, there might be some other people feeling like me that don't have someone that looks like them that's trying to run. So that was sort of my inspiration to post about it. But yeah, it almost feels like I'm back to when I started my Instagram. Like it was very vulnerable and it was very raw. I've gone on runs and I've been crying and it's a whole thing. So yeah, it's been really fun. I wonder, maybe I'll be doing a marathon one day.
Do you have like a kind of like a little goal of like a marathon or something? Like a
I'd love
half
to
know marathon. The idea of a marathon scares me so much.
I know. It's literally like 40 something kilometers. Like that is just unreal. But I'm nearly at 5K without stopping. I did 4K the other day. Yeah. So I reckon I want to be able to do 10K this year.
Wow. That'll be, oh my God. I can't even imagine.
You can do it. If I can do it, seriously.
You do make it sound so exciting. Tell me about Remy. Because you started that in the middle of COVID.
I guess doing all of my health and fitness, like posting and content, I was working with brands that did activewear. And I just felt like there was a big gap in the market for activewear that went up to a bigger size that just looked the same as all of the others. Like often brands would stop when we started, it was 2020. So brands were sort of going to an XL, which is normally like a 16, 14 situation. If you wanted the bigger sizes, you had to go and get all the ugly stuff.
Yeah.
There's funny patterns, the whole funny seams. I'm like, I don't want to look like a 6-year-old woman going on their daily walk. I want to look like a hot, whatever age I am at the time. I don't even know how old I was. I just want to look the same as all of my friends. Like, why can't I just wear the same thing? So we decided to venture into activewear. And we actually ended up starting that with a in-between company. So they helped us with the manufacturing and helped us with that whole process, which ended up not being ideal. And we moved away from them and went straight to supplier. But at the time, I feel like I probably wouldn't have started if it wasn't for that help. So I don't regret it.
Because you learned so much. So was it kind of like a white labeling kind of?
No, they did product development and they could do your packing and sending and everything for you if you wanted them to, or you could just use them for the manufacturing or the sampling.
So what was the issue with them?
I mean, the prices were a lot higher. Like anything, if you're not starting yourself and you're not figuring, like even with Facebook ads, like we looked into it a lot before we even went to someone to do it, and we tried to do our own at the start. The packing and sending, we still do it ourselves. I just think anything like that, you're not going to know how long it takes someone, how much you should be paying them. You don't know unless you
just
try.
Start. Yeah. And then once you get into it, you learn so much. So if you don't lock yourself into a long contract, then it gives, you know, once you've learned, then you can figure it out.
Yes. And I think that was an important thing for us at the beginning. You know, we thought about, should we just get someone else to do it? And if we want to be able to do all of this ourselves, we need to at least start. And then we can go, no, we need to delegate that. Or, oh, no, that company's amazing at doing that. We can delegate that. So, yeah, I think looking back, obviously don't regret it because I definitely needed that push.
Just to get going. No, because even like ShowPro, we started by buying someone from another brand. And so it wasn't until, I don't think we did product development for like maybe even like a year and a half. And then we didn't start designing our own products for maybe ages. Like it's part of the journey.
Yeah. And then also you find out what works for your customers, you know, and every supplier is different as well. Like it takes so long to find good ones. And especially with our size range, we were up against a lot of, no, we won't do those MOQs for that size, or you also go to a 20. So it's different. And there's suppliers that literally reply, no, we only go to a large. We're not making above a large.
Because our suppliers at the time didn't even go above 12. Some was 14. They didn't even go to 16.
And this was the norm at the time. This is why I started my brand. I was like, you know, I get it. People don't want to push that because it's not important to them because they've not been bigger. But for me, I was like, you know, this is my whole reason I'm doing it. And now manufacturers are helping people do it. And it's definitely easier now because more people are doing it. So it's great that other brands have stepped up. I'm happy about it. That was all I wanted, was everyone to be able to stock, you know, bigger sizes.
Yeah.
It is difficult. You're up against these companies. And even something like, it's so random, but people just don't know. We really wanted to do a seamless legging, like a seamless, you know, like the knitted seamless legging. And they literally don't have the machinery for it. It's spun on a machine and they won't go above, I think it was a 16 or maybe an 18. They won't go above it because the machinery literally isn't capable.
And it's like, you're not investing in a machine.
I'm like, babe, some of the bigger businesses can surely invest in the machine.
Yeah,
surely, I can use it.
Yeah, can we piggyback? Yeah. Did you get, could
no,
you?
No, they're still not. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, last time we looked into it, they weren't. Yeah. So yeah, hopefully someone stepped up. But things like that, that you just would have no idea, we had to go, are we still going to do it and just not offer our whole size range? And obviously that's an important, it's the whole reason I started the business. So we said, no, we're not even going to do it because it doesn't go along with our business values. So yeah.
For our US listeners, for that, all the sizes that we've said, -4 for the US equivalent.
Yes.
It's so confusing. What were the biggest hurdles to get everything up and running? It was during COVID, but you're in Queensland, so you could move around a little bit, but it's still like
We could do a few things. Given we used the business in the middle, they did guide us a lot and help us a lot. But I think let's take them out of it and go, because I almost have had to start from scratch when we went to getting our own suppliers. The biggest hurdles for us were finding a really good supplier that wasn't going to screw things up, because that's just a whole ordeal. The pushback with the size range, because when you go from an extra small to a size 6XL, they break in the middle. So it's like a extra small XL is a one size break, and you have that MOQ. And then
hiring for your small business, if you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The 2XL upwards is another size break. So we're dealing with, it's not one run of a product, it's two runs for one product. So that was a big hurdle. It's, you know, we're a small business and now we have to do double the MOQ, which is minimum order quantities, double that. That's a big hurdle at the start. And also for Remy, our fabrics are made from recycled fibers. Now that we do swimwear, it's a lot easier, but activewear obviously gets put through the ringer with all of the activities that everyone's doing. Yeah. So it needs to stand the test of time. So that was one hurdle that we had, finding a really good recycled fabric. And I mean, there's lots more on the market, but when we started, there weren't many. So yeah, I feel like that was a big hurdle for us.
And what surprised you the most about, you know, being on the other side and having your own business?
It is constant. Online,
what do you
social.
Mean? Oh, no, exactly what you mean. Yes, go on.
And I mean, before I did social media and started my own business, I was a paramedic. So,
wow. So you know constant.
Yes, I know hard work.
Yes.
I know it. But it's different. It's hard, but it's different. I mean, unless you've had a really horrible job, you clock off. It's not constantly up here. And then I think it's just that risk. Like every time you do something, yes, it's calculated risk, but it's a risk. And you're putting thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars into something and going, hopefully it works out, you know? It's something completely new for me. So I'm obviously still, I'm trying to advertise, because my brands are built off of the back of my personal brand. So I still need to push that content out. And then it's the juggling everything. Definitely, it's like all of the hats constantly. Yeah. But then I always just have to come back to why I did it. And also, it's fun. Like, I can just make something. Like, if I want to make, like, I see a top and I'm like, wait, like, that's cool, but I could do it this way and I can change this fabric, or I want a neckline like this, I can just make it. Like, it's cool.
You look at something like, why don't they do it like this? Oh, I can.
Yeah.
And why doesn't this come in more sizes? I can do it.
Yeah. So it's fun and it's cool. And it's so, like, I'm a really creative person. I always have been. So having that sort of creative outlet as well is really cool. And then when the customers, you know, they buy something and you get the amazing emails and messages, like when we launched our denim with Georgia and Joseph, my other brand, the amount of messages I had from girls being like, I am crying right now. I can't believe these jeans fit me like they do. You know, the amount of times I've been in changing rooms trying to get jeans on, crying because I'm upset, and now I'm crying happy tears. Yeah. So messages like that just make it all worth it. But yeah, I just think it is constant, and the risk and the amount of times I've just had like a pit in my stomach being like, oh my God, like we need to pull the trigger on this, but I'm so scared. Yeah, it's like nothing else really.
Oh my God. Yes. Actually, from like when we did our collab range, positive feedback from that was just like amazing. Like
it's cool to think that, you know, you can do that with your brand. It might be hectic to say changing lives, but it means a lot to people. You know, women that, or anyone that haven't had that access to cool clothes, or I mean, you do a lot of, you know, formal wear and things like that. And when I was trying to find formal dresses, I remember going to shops and I'd come out and mum would be like, oh my God, that looks amazing. And I'll turn and it can't even zip up on the side. Like, you know, you're dealing with that. So when you can make these beautiful pieces that fit bodies for like big times in their life, I can imagine customers, just being like so happy, which is just so cool.
Also, I love that you're a paramedic. Like you were. Like that's amazing.
Yeah. Bit of a career change.
Yeah, that balance, that juggle between content and business operations, I feel like you're always like you feel like one is under control and then you're like the other is slipping.
The good thing now, though, is that people love to see the behind the scenes, as you know. So it's kind of like you can.
But then the editing of it.
I know. Delegate.
Delegate. Exactly. That's how you be lazy. You delegate.
Yeah.
What were the major milestones and like marketing campaigns?
I love a campaign. I find that the funnest part. Like it's just so good. I do modeling as well. So being able to go on set and it's something that I've come up with and I've created is so cool, because I'm often, you know, like on shoots with other and I'm just the model.
And being like, why have they done this? They should do this this way. Like,
I love a campaign. So we started Remy with activewear and then we pivoted more towards swimwear. We dropped one collection. It was actually Australia made, which was cool. We launched the swim with a runway and it was the first inclusive runway in Australia with swim, where we had girls from a size 6 to a size 6XL on that runway. It was amazing. It was so
epic.
Cool. Yeah. And it was a big collection. So we dropped lots of different one pieces, bikinis, and we celebrated it with a runway, which was, a bit of a pinch me moment. We should do that again at some point. And that was almost like the start of it's not another brand, but it was very different to what we were doing. Our activewear was activewear. And then we brought out these like bright print swim pieces and that really resonated with our audience. So now we haven't done activewear in a while, actually. It's mainly swimwear now. So that was a big point of our business journey that I look back on and I'm like, that's amazing. Another one for Georgia and Joseph would be which is like more capsule wardrobe and basics.
So you started a second brand. Yes.
Yeah. So I again just saw a bit of a gap for, I could never find denim that fit me perfectly. I have a smaller waist, bigger hips. And I thought, you know, I can just make it. Again, I was like, I can just do it. So that was a whole beast. Denim is a lot harder than activewear, if anyone out there is wondering, just because it doesn't stretch as much and the fits and the whole thing. Started that and we actually shot a recent campaign in London, which is really cool because I live on the Gold Coast, but lots of our pieces are more city.
Yeah.
And you're not wearing jeans to the beach, obviously. Yeah. So we shot a campaign in London and I look at those photos and I'm like, I can't believe that's my brand. It looks like the model we used there was incredible. I jumped in a few photos, but I sort of tried to stay out of most of them. I was like, oh my God.
No, it looked amazing.
Yeah. So I look back, I look at those photos, and I'm just like, whoa, I can't believe that was us. Like, we did that. So yeah, I find the campaigns really, really fun, coming up with the concept and executing it and then getting the images back. I just love it.
Life. Yeah. That's a big juggle, like two brands, you know, your personal branding and running. But I guess it all meshes together into the one.
Yeah. And I think, again, like coming back to that personal brand, that's why it's so important. Like I can just randomly start running because I built my personal brand that people can resonate with that. And I think with TikTok, that was something that I sort of struggled with. I struggled with trying to find like a real niche on there. I'll do sort of like an outfit video or something and it might go really well. And then you try and replicate that and it doesn't do well. And I'm like, oh fuck, like how do people get this niche that they then just like, it keeps going and going. And then the running video took off in that way. And I was like, whoa, like this is
so
not
unique.
What I planned, but that's okay.
Let's run with it.
Yeah. Ah, very good.
What has been the toughest time that's been on your journey?
It was actually for the runway. So we had this whole runway planned and the production was just like we'd had a date and there were a whole lot of issues with that. And the communication was just really, really horrible. And it got to a point where I was like, I need to threaten legal action here. And it was, you know, we weren't getting our stock and it was very blasé. Oh, well, we'll get it done when we can. And I'm like, well, no, we've invested all of this money into this collection. Christmas is creeping up. We had this whole runway plan, which we had to invest a lot of money into even getting the space for this runway. We had models there. We had the whole thing literally to the day. We couldn't even launch when we wanted to. We had to pull samples from, you know, begging for some, please, we need this size for this model on this runway. Yeah. Like we can deal with the bulk later. It's this whole thing. And I feel like I'm such a relationship person. Mm-hmm. So to feel let down by someone like that, and it was that, but then it was also like our whole collection is going to be screwed. Like this whole runway is going to be a waste and we can't even do the runway. It's just going to be completely out the window and I've wasted all of this money and I'm upset and I'm just embarrassed because I've pushed it out on social media and what, we're just going to say, oh, sorry guys, we've had issues. We have to cancel. Like I'm like, that is literally so embarrassing.
So what did you do?
We ended up scrambling for samples for the runway and it wasn't
and
even
had like a pre-order drop date kind of thing.
Yeah, we had to split it into two releases, mm-hmm. two drops. So we went, okay, what's going to be ready? Okay, we're going to do drop one and drop two. So we pivoted.
Oh, it feels like hype. Like,
yeah, you know, exactly. Just, yeah, so I think that's the thing. Like you just have to pivot. You have to go how, and we've learned that along the way, you can cry, you can be emotional, but that's not going to get you anywhere.
It's not going to,
no, you're not going to get your launch done. You're not going to get anything done. So yeah, we went, okay, we'll split it into two drops. We'll build the hype that way. There'll be a little bit more hype between the runway and the launch. We scrambled for pieces for the runway and, I mean, it ended up working out. Obviously, then we didn't use that supplier again, which was sad because it was great. That sucked. But yeah, that was a really, I was just ready to can the whole thing and wasted a mountain of money on it, but worked out in the end. I mean, we still have dark times. Dark times. Where, you know, something will come and it's just like not right and or they've done the wrong color on something or whatever it is, or they've promised you that, you know, your collection's going to be done by that time and it gets just completely pushed back and it just sucks, but it's all part of it.
What's the biggest challenge you face today? Is it in the production area? Is it like marketing operations? Like, yeah, what kind of challenges do you face now?
Yeah, I definitely think it's in the production. Mm. And I mean, timelines are just long and sampling can take a long time, especially because we're doing such a large size range.
Oh my God, the product life cycle, it just gets longer and longer. It gets longer the bigger you get. I feel like.
I know.
I used to be like, you can't get something that we've got in the warehouse online in 5 days. And now I'm like, that's 5 days is a dream. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. I think that will be the hardest part. I mean, the advertising side of things for me is like, it's been my bread and butter for so long. But I guess like social media just changes so much with the times, you know, like every week you have to sort of have like a different approach to it, or every day, like there's a trend that you just have to quickly try and jump on or whatever it is, not in terms of the clothes as well, but they're not so much trend driven. It's more the content that you're putting out is trend driven. So that's always tricky because, I mean, I'm trying to do it for so many different aspects here. That would be a big challenge as well, sort of staying on top of everything with personal and then both the brands. But yeah, I think the production side of things, oh, it does. Because we're so far away as well, we can't like, all you can do is really beg them. Yeah. Like, you're like, please.
Do it faster.
Yeah.
Don't F it up. Yeah. I know. I feel you. It doesn't get easier.
Yeah, thanks.
What's next for you? What's next for the brands?
Yeah, I really want to focus on Georgia and Joseph and building that. Remy, I feel like we sort of know where we're at with that now. Georgia and Joseph, we want to venture more into doing menswear as well.
Oh,
or,
really?
Or pieces that, you know, like anyone can wear. Yeah, that anyone can wear. And I mean, Vita is my partner and he does a lot of the going back and forth with the manufacturer now. I've sort of like passed it on to him. And so I can focus on other things. And, you know, he'll often be trying to shop for clothes and he's like, oh, I just wish it was like that. Or this is really cool. Like I'm like, okay, well, why don't we start doing more pieces that everyone can wear? So we're going to venture into that. Not sure when that's going to happen, but we'll be trying as soon as we can. Yeah. And then Remy, we really want to branch out to other markets in terms of the world.
Yeah.
So I'm originally from New Zealand, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Very clear. I have quite a lot of followers there already. Getting things to the UK is an absolute pain in the ass in terms of the fees and the tax. But the US is obviously not like that in terms of sending product there. So that's sort of a goal of ours to really branch out into other markets, which yeah. would be scary. But
absolutely. Well, I'll hit me up. I can help you. What is the best advice that you've ever received?
I think I'm going to have to go with some wise words from my gramps, actually, which is rise above it. Rise above it. You're allowed to be upset or angry or whatever it is, but then you just have to rise above it and go, where are we at? Where do we want to be? And that's how you're going to act on it. You just have to, no matter what, I mean, life's going to throw shit things at you, whether it's personal or business or whatever it is, rise above it. And then I say pivot, because especially in business, if shit's going to go wrong, pivot and find a way to make it work.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the whole, that is what being in business is, right? It's a constant problem solving. If anything becomes like too predictable and repetitive, first of all, someone else is going to end up doing it, you know, because the market is changing. And also, I think you as someone that's entrepreneurial and creative, you'll get bored of it and it'll feel like a job. So you're constantly pivoting.
Yeah, that's so true. Getting bored.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You wouldn't think like you've got a million things on your list to do, but you're bored.
Yeah, you're kind of like, why is everything constantly changing? But you're also like, I would get bored otherwise. So it's a balance.
Yeah.
What does home life look like for you? What's your guilty pleasure? How do you treat yourself? How do you unwind?
Yeah, I have two French bulldogs and my fiance as well. So whenever I have a spare moment to not be, because I travel a lot for work and shoots and things like this. So whenever I have a spare moment, I am doing couch rot, which is rotting on the couch. Everyone, I'm sorry, but I have to have a day like in between somewhere of just a couch rot. It's on the couch. Snacks, movie, whatever it is, you're showered, you're feeling really, really nice and relaxed. And I do a couch rot. But then I have lots of friends that live on the Gold Coast that I've met through. I mean, I moved from New Zealand and I didn't have friends, so it took a while to build my friendships there. But I love a good cafe, love a good brunch, love a good walk along the beach. Yeah, so I try not to put too much pressure on myself to like book myself out socially, but lots of my friends sort of do the same thing in terms of, you know, like makeup artists, so they own their own business and they have to do that, or other influencers or business owners. So we all have busy schedules. So if one of us is like, no, we're way too fucking tired, we're canceling, it's fine.
Everyone
understands.
We're at that age where, well, no, we're not the same age, but we're at the age where we're excited. I love this couch rot term. I think it's a couch rock. And I was like, what is that? But rotting. Like, I literally, like before I had kids, every Sunday I'm couch rotting.
Yeah.
Now I couch rot at night. I go after like at midnight, I finish my work. The kids are in bed, like way before that. And then I do the work. And then I watch like an hour or two of reality TV. I have to couch rot in between. That's how I like center myself. I realign. Oh, and Waldy, my husband's like going to a bachelor's a box party, and I'm like, Caitlin, I was like, we're couch rotting together. I'm like, come over, we'll couch rot, because I just want to like, my husband is like watching TV, and I just want to like, I'm like, I just want to watch TV with someone, because I'm that annoying person that likes to stop and pause.
Yeah.
So now's the thing, let's couch rot. Yeah, I like having a term for it, because it feels more like it legitimizes it.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And what do you do to recenter yourself and to help you stay focused?
My focus comes from a creative burst of like, oh my God, we need to do this. So, and I mean, that's tricky because you can't really force that all the time. But I can do things like looking at really old runways, or, you know, looking at things for inspiration to then trigger the creativity. And then that sort of brings me back to like, oh my God, we need to do this as a collection and we're going to do this. Me and my partner, obviously, because we work together a lot, we'll do, you know, a little like at night, we'll sit down and be like, okay, like, where are we at? Big lists, we have lots of lists. Our notes are just filled with lists and brainstorms, and I just write things down like crazy. So yeah, I feel like that really brings me back to, okay, where are we at? We need to do this. Routine to me, there isn't really one, which is
there's no
terrible,
what does a typical week look like?
And there's
like
just
you're
not
here now.
Yeah,
you're like, you know,
like this week I've literally been to like, well, I was Melbourne, Then I flew into Brisbane, went to the Jonas Brothers. Then I drove back to the Gold Coast and then flew here to Sydney.
I was in Melbourne. So, were you in Melbourne?
Yeah, the same day.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, cute. So yeah, it's there is no sort of routine, but I just try to really like bounce off those creative bursts that I have and try and channel that into, okay, we need to do this. But yeah, lots of lists that I constantly go back to. And yeah, my partner's quite the opposite to me in terms of basically everything, like personality wise, everything. So I'll be the one going, and he'll be like, okay, this is what we're going to do about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it works out well.
That's perfect. I love that. Do you have your two truth and one lie prepared?
Yes, I do. I was a swimming instructor for 5 years. I dreamed of owning my own business when I grew up, and my top subject in school was drama.
The lie is the drama.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the lie is dreaming of owning my own business. I just never
thought that you...
Yeah. No. Like,
I guess it's so far away from being a paramedic.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought the drama one, because I thought that... I don't know, I figured there'd be more like skits from you.
No, I am a speech and drama girly.
Oh.
Yeah. I grew up doing speech and drama. It's my top subject.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming down to Sydney and like chatting.
Of course.
Coming to the event, chatting to me.
Thanks for having me.
And so what advice do you have for our listeners who want to follow a similar path to yours?
Try and stay consistent, but you have to have that passion. If you're doing it for the wrong reasons, it's just going to fall on its face, basically. You need to have something you're passionate about, a message you really want to push, and the right people will find you. Be consistent. Keep posting on social media if you really want to push your message, and people will find you.
Love it. Thank you, Riley.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it from me for now. Thanks for listening. And if you're loving the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review. And if you want more, join the conversation on the podcast Instagram at thelazyceo_podcast. Link to the show notes. Catch you next Tuesday.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.